We rise for the reading of our sermon text. Goodness and mercy be to all of you, all the days of your life. Amen. We consider the word of the Lord, which comes from Psalm 23, the first four verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is God's word. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of your good shepherd, dear flock of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel comes to Jesse of Bethlehem looking for the next king of Israel. He searches through all of Jesse's sons, and yet the one whom he will choose is not among them. The youngest of Jesse's son is not there. His name is David, and he's out in the field tending the flock. Yes, David, who by inspiration wrote this psalm we're considering, was a shepherd. He knew very well of the nature of keeping sheep, how they are stubborn, how much care they need and constant attention. A good manager is needed to care for these sheep. In verse 3, David writes, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." In the Hebrew, the original language, the word pictures here a rutted path. It pictures a rut left by a wagon wheel, or even more appropriately, sheep having worn down this path. We could literally translate it, "He leads me in the well-worn ruts of righteousness." These are the good paths, the good ruts, those which lead to green pasture and still water. Your shepherd knows these paths well. He guards these paths well, and he leads you to still water. Sheep are creatures of habit. A shepherd will attest to this. Left to their own, sheep will continue to graze on bad ground. They will wear the landscaping thin. They will erode what's there. Sheep are anything but low maintenance. Left to themselves, they will leave the property a desert wasteland. They need a shepherd, one who will predetermine a plan and rotation for grazing, watering, and laying down to rest. They need a shepherd who knows the good paths. You can see why the Spirit would choose sheep to describe God's people. Left to ourselves, we overgraze and wear down the good terrain. We cause those good paths to erode away, and we form our own unrighteous ruts. Just like sheep without a shepherd, we will seek that path of least resistance, the easiest one. That's why we can be so easily deceived by our heart. That's why it's not good advice to simply follow your heart. Because without God's word guiding you, your heart can lead you down all sorts of paths that seem right. We often erode what's around us and trample the good ground. That's why divorce, for instance, can cause so many ruts in the lives of those people involved, because it continues to wear down the good terrain. And by the time it gets to divorce, it's usually too late, because those bad ruts are so well established that you just can't get out of them. sinful habits treat us much the same way also. Because our brain is kind of like sheep. Our neurological pathway can become so familiar to us that they become like bad ruts. When we continue to sin and work those familiar paths into our brain, we simply can't get out of those bad ruts, ruts of anger or bitterness, of lust, of earthly greed. We can't get out of them, that is, without the aid of a shepherd. Psalm 27 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." Our shepherd knows the good paths. He knows how to get you out of the bad ruts. He has walked this righteous rut before you. He has forged the good path by living that perfectly righteous life in your place, by loving you with a perfect love as he carried out his earthly mission. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. This is how he created the righteous ruts, the good paths, the ones that are trustworthy. They're trustworthy because they weren't forged by us sinful human beings. They were done perfectly. And they're righteous because they were worn by the steps of our shepherd. Verse 3, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." A shepherd is not followed by his sheep because they're trying to impress him or because they're trying to earn his favor. No, they follow him because they trust him. That is what a good shepherd does. He creates trust among his flock. They have faith in his faithfulness, that he will do them no harm, that he will restore them from their wandering ways and give them what they need the most. He has. He has restored your soul. As we read in verse 3, "For his name's sake." A shepherd is only as good a herder as he is trustworthy. And here we find in this verse the most trustworthy shepherd ever to walk this earth. "For his name's sake" means everything that God is at stake here. Everything that God has done comes into this motivation for what he does for you. God's name includes everything Jesus has faithfully proven true regarding God's promises. As we read in our epistle for today from 1 John 3, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. For his name's sake, you are forgiven. For his name's sake, you are counted righteous, restored from whatever sins you've committed to right standing as one of God's flock." 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Your shepherd knows the good path. As winter approaches, the shepherd is now in charge of driving the herd back to the ranch for winter refuge. There are several reasons why he can't take the higher ground. Among them are the weather and higher grounds. But above all, at this time of the year, the best feed and the best grass is going to be found in the valley. This means he will have to face predators who will hide on the higher rocks. He will face storms that tumble off the mountainsides and heavy winds that funnel through the valley. Still, the shepherd knows that this is the best path. This is the path that will give his sheep what they need. Your shepherd guards that good path. Verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Do we have reason to trust God? Do we have reason to follow His lead in the ruts that He has set before us? In the midst of whatever darkness or predators you might have around you, are we safe? Jesus said in our gospel reading, just following our gospel reading in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." On the night of our Savior's birth, what were those shepherds doing out in the field? They were watching over their flock, not just during the daytime, but also during the nighttime. Your shepherd has an endless watch over your needs and your cares. His rod and his staff are not a source of threat toward you. They're a means of fighting off the enemy. They're a comforting sight because they remind you that Jesus is your good shepherd and He's not your enemy. They're best pictured as God's word and sacrament. Because God has recorded His word so that you can hear the voice of your good shepherd speaking. It fights off the good predators, not the ones that we see with our eyes or in the world around us. It fights off the ones that we don't see. This is how God guards the good path. As Jeremiah says, "Stand in the way and see, ask for the old path where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." In John chapter 10, our gospel reading, Jesus described hirelings who watch over the flock, those who are hired hands, those who have no real investment in the needs of the flock. So when the wolf comes, they flee. They don't really care about what happens to the sheep. They flee. They don't care. The Holy Spirit has employed what we call under-shepherds, like me, pastors and teachers and professors, to care for the flock. But they're not all sounding forth the voice of the Good Shepherd. No, they actually say many different things as we look at them. We find the work of Moses and Aaron described in Psalm 77. "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." And God does use these under-shepherds to guide His flock, as He did with Moses and Aaron through the wilderness. The Good Shepherd speaks through pastors and teachers. The question you need to ask yourself is, are you hearing the voice of your Good Shepherd? Is that what you're being fed with? Are they rightly representing that will of God? We read in Ezekiel chapter 4 of the state of the under-shepherds in the 6th century B.C. Israel, when God says, "Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel who prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock?" It remains your responsibility to listen to God's word, to not just assume that your church or your pastor will never err, but to listen for that voice of your good shepherd, to know those righteous ruts that God has written down in His word. As Paul says, "Test all things, hold fast what is good." This is the voice of your good shepherd. Again, why does He lead you through those dark paths? Why do you have to go through the valley of the shadow of death in this world? Whatever it might be that surrounds you, that troubles you, that darkens your day, why does it have to be like this? Your shepherd knows what lies beyond. He knows what's best for your faith right now. He knows that just beyond are still waters. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." One shepherd recounts the story of seeing a flock led toward a magnificent mountain stream. Along come the sheep, and some of the lambs refuse to go any further, and they want to stop beside a muddy pool to drink polluted, poisoned water. No matter what you would tell these sheep, they're convinced that this is the best source of water, that this is what they need. There are some spiritual shepherds in this world who will tell you to stop by the muddy waters. There are some shepherds who will tell you that your Christian faith is a matter of gaining earthly prosperity, that it's all about getting things for this world, to stop by the muddy pools without moving on. And they'll tell you that if you're not getting these things in your life, it's because you're not making the right choices, or you're not living righteously enough, or you're not asking for the right things, or you're not trusting God enough. Water and contentment are essential to the sheep's welfare. If the shepherd cannot convince you to move on past the muddy waters, you're going to die. The righteous ruts that faith in Jesus lead us through are right past the muddy waters. It's always looking beyond. It's seeing in God's word a spiritual rest. Jesus leads us past those pools. He says in Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, not for things of this world, but for righteousness, for they shall be filled." This is your journey home. It's the righteousness that God feeds you with through his word, assuring you he will care for his sheep. As verse 1 says, "I shall not want," that means I shall not be in want. In fact, in the original, it emphasizes it even more. It says, "I will never lack." God is leading you through the wilderness of this world, and he's going to make sure you have got what you need. He is going to feed you, not just for your body, but for your soul, in the righteous ruts. He never rests. He never tires. He knows the good paths. He leads you to still waters, and he lays you down to rest. As we'll sing in our last hymn for today, a hymn that most children are familiar with, "Whoso happy as I am, even now the shepherd's lamb. And when my short life is ended, by his angel hosts attended, he shall fold me to his breast, there within his arms to rest. Led in ruts of righteousness, for his name's sake. Amen."